Ken and Debbie Rohr are our Awana missionary representatives. They have assisted us with our Grand Prix for the last 3 years and have visited us on Wednesday night Awana Club meetings. And those of you involved in the Awana program are probably very familiar with Ken and Debbie. The Awana missionaries serve the Lord in the following six areas in Ohio, starting new Awana programs by meeting with interested pastors and making Awana presentations to churches and parents, training leaders by conducting basic training meeting with commanders and directors and through the annual fall leadership conferences, strengthening churches by counseling with commanders and pastors, speaking at leaders' meetings, and evaluating clubs as they visit, building a ministry team comprised of event coordinators, commanders, and other leaders with a broad vision for reaching boys and girls across the state, conducting special events for clubbers, including Bible quizzing, Olympics, Grand Prix racing, and scholarship camp, and communicating with churches, clubs, and support teams through personal meetings, monthly pray and praise letters, and the Awana newsletter. We'd like to thank Ken for filling in for Pastor Scott today, and welcome.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Anybody not know who I am? Oh, no. I want to thank you for allowing us to be here and asking us to be here. It is an honor to be here and have a chance to share with you from God's Word some things that He's laid on my heart. I'm not only not filling in for Pastor Scott, he just doesn't happen to be here, so I can't fill in for him. So, I want to thank you first, before we get started, personally, for your prayer and financial support that you've been to Debbie and I in the Awana ministry. As a lot of you know, we do a lot of traveling. And I'm not here to give you an Awana update report, because that's just not what I was asked to do. But we do a lot of traveling, and the prayers and the funds that you provide for us keep us on the road. And we want to thank you for that, because we could not do it without folks like yourselves. And it is an honor and a privilege to be able to be here. I wanted to start off with just a little story. Some of you may have heard this before. It was actually two summers ago. Terry had asked me to come and help put down their game floor, because somebody keeps pulling the tape up, and we have to resurfacing that floor down there, and then we put it back down again every year, you know, but that's neither here nor there. But he asked me to come and help put that down. And so we got here. Debbie was able to be with me that day, and we got downstairs and getting ready to put it down. And Terry couldn't find the tape. Now, you know him better than I do, and you know when he puts something someplace, he usually knows where it is, right? So he was searching high and low, and we had many people searching different places. And I had brought some extra tape, but it was not enough to do what we needed to get done. And so I knew I had more in our basement. We just live in Troy, so it's a half-hour drive, so it's not too big a deal. But I was trying to figure out how Debbie would be able to get there and then come back. She's up here laughing at me. I'll pay for this. Okay, this is not meant for this, Debbie, okay? This is the time when 35 and 75 were all messed up. And so you couldn't take 35 and go west and then get on 75 to go north. So we're talking back and forth, and then Terry speaks up and says, "Well, I can get her to 75. And we all looked. But if you know Terry better than I do, and he can do stuff like that, right? So Debbie was a little quizzical, but she knew Terry fairly well, too. So that's what we did. Debbie drove to our house. Terry was co-pilot. I think it took her up Woodman to get up to Needmore and everything to get to 75. And then Debbie was all right from there, and then he got her back. And so we have occasion to tell that to other folks at times, and they look at us, and then we say, "Well, what's the big deal?" I said, "Terry is blind." Oh, now we get the idea. So you know how incredible that man is. And with Michelle, you guys run a fine Awana ministry here. And I think Debbie was talking with somebody just a little while ago, and they're saying how well things are going, and that you have a lot of TNT kids, et cetera, et cetera. And praise God for that. So I just wanted to share that a little bit with you before we got started. I just think it's funny. And depending on how a few other things go, I'll have the privilege of taking Terry up to Commander College up at in Chicago next summer. Soon we work the VBS things out and all that stuff. I haven't had a chance to actually ask him this morning if that's been taken care of. So once he registered, then we'll put in the thing and go up there and we'll go from there. So, but let's open in prayer. Lord, we thank you for today, and I thank you for the opportunity to be here. And we do feel it as an honor, and we ask that you would just speak through me this morning, that I can be an encouragement to these fine folks here at Spinning Rope Baptist. Be with Pastor Scott as he travels, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to read from first just a couple verses. You can turn there if you want, but just a few verses. 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. As every man hath received the gift, I'm in the wrong one. Pastor Scott never does that, does he? Oh, okay, all right. I'm glad I'm the only one that does that. So, 1 John 4, 10 through 12. This is more better. Any English teachers in here? My grammar messing you up? Sorry. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or the substitute. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Michelle, I think, actually mentioned it, and a few others talked about it too. The title of this message that I put together is, Do You Have a Relationship with God? Or How Is Your Relationship with God? And I don't mean just coming here Sunday morning for Sunday school, church. Coming here on Sunday evening. You have a Sunday evening service, correct? Sunday evening. Coming to Awana for any Awana leaders or the kids that are not here, I know that. That's all good, but how is your relationship with God? Is it something that, one, you take time with him, that you read from his word? You have a time of prayer, a time of study? I know Debbie and I, that's really the first thing that we do. Well, maybe we'll get up and get a shower and try to wake up so that we can actually read with our eyes without having our eyes closed or something, okay? But before our day gets started, and for the most part, I do pretty good. I discipline myself not to even look at my emails before I even do that, because it's very easy now. I can get them on my phone. So try not to even get started with that before I have a time alone with God, so that I can continue to develop that relationship. And this really hit me between my eyes last November. Almost a year ago, my father passed away last November, and I had the opportunity to share at his funeral. After we got through all the tears and stuff, even though I knew he was in heaven, it was still very, very hard. And I never thought really much about it as I was growing up. My dad was a salesman. He's an agricultural chemical salesman, so we moved to different places. I was actually born in Maryland. He moved to western PA, eastern PA, upstate New York. So we moved around a decent amount. But every place that we went, my parents would always look for a church that had an adult Sunday school class. And I never thought about that until I was reflecting back on what Dad was doing, because that was, I know Mom agreed with it, but that was mainly Dad, because he said we need to make sure that we have a relationship with God, and that was his way of making me get started with that. Now, I asked Christ to be my Savior when I was in junior high, about age 12. Through the teen years, things didn't go probably the way God really wanted them to go for me. But he pulled me back. And I really do believe that that relationship was started when my parents, I don't want to use the word force, but took us to church Sunday mornings. Because I know that was important. My father was married to my mother for 61 and a half years, and Mom always makes sure we put that extra half in. Mom's 83 now. In fact, I just spoke with her yesterday. I try to talk to her a couple times a week. She lives in upstate New York. And I'm the oldest of four kids, and my parents have like seven grandchildren. No, they're more than that. Yeah, that's right. I lost the number, right, Debbie? Nine grandchildren, because three of us have two and one has three. So, but then they have two great-grandchildren, which are our two grandchildren. Our son Matthew just had his second one September 1st, so that's pretty new. But that's a unique thing, too, and we praise God for that relationship, because both of our sons actually have walked away from the Lord. But they developed a relationship when they were young. And our son just shared with us in the last week or so. He said, God has been using the situation with his youngest son, Mitchell, who just got out of the hospital yesterday for like 28 days. He said, Dad, I know that that's providential. All the timing that happened with where he was, how we were able to help out a little bit, how many other people were able to help out with helping them see things, help them take care of their children. But he said, Dad, it's not lost on me. So we praise God that we feel that even though Mitchell, who was born a month early and had some respiratory issues, we feel that that is helping bring Matthew, our son, back to a relationship with God. And so I ask you again, how is your relationship with God? Do you have one? Maybe you don't. Maybe you're here and you don't know that. We can talk about that. We'll share some of that here in a little bit more. But I find it incredible that God has asked me to be an Awana missionary. Because quite honestly, up until a few years ago, now, this is our start of, Debbie's and mine, start of our seventh year as missionaries. But up until a few years ago, I was nervous. I'm going to use an old Tennessee Ernie Ford thing. More nervous than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rockers to get up here in front of somebody, folks like you on a Sunday morning. I'm okay in front of kids. I'm just a good pot stirrer, right, Michelle? I'll stir them up and send them home. But it's different here on a Sunday morning. And it's not lost on me either. But God has used me to have the opportunity to share the gospel with kids across this great state of Ohio. We've been here now 10 years, and then occasionally a Sunday morning service. But God has also used us across the pond. Two summers ago, Debbie and I had the privilege of going to Israel and Egypt for a week each, and I'm sure many of you have heard that. And you think about that, how the turmoil in Egypt, we wouldn't have been able to go this past year because it would not have been anywhere near safe. Even though we had an armed guard a couple times, we never felt threatened. Many of you know Steve Schenck. He led a group of seven of us over there, and we had the privilege of seeing places that are in this book. And what an honor that was to see that. And that's all part of the relationship that God is building in us. The opportunities that he gives you to share your faith, to build your relationship with him, we all need to do that. 2012 was a very unique year for us. Not only did we go to Israel and Egypt, my father passing away, I ended up having some spots of basal cell skin cancer that had to be removed. And they potentially had the threat of not me being able to have a surgery also that same summer. But God worked it all out in his plan and not in my plan or in anybody else's plan. God has used Awana as to help me to build my relationship. In some of the handbooks, they help us with our relationship. We use the scripture memory, the Bible truths, the Bible study. Debbie and I are still, we're working on actually our last journey book. We both only have a couple lessons left, and then we'll have the opportunity to have earned our citation award. So, you Awana leaders out there, are you working on your books? God uses that to build a relationship with you as well. I know he's used it for Debbie and I as you've gone through the different studies. And what we read in 1 John there talks about having a relationship with him. God loves you. We know that, right? John 3:16. Everybody knows that one. That's probably the most quoted Bible verse in the world, right? You see that at football games behind the goalposts, right? You see that? Who out in the stands of baseball fields and different other places. How many of your friends would love you if you didn't love them back? That's what God does for us, right? He loved us so much that he gave us his son. Now, as I said, we have two sons, Debbie and I, and I would like to think that I would risk my life for them. But I don't know if I really would be able to do it if the time came. I think I would. But God has done that for me. And he's done that for you. And part of your relationship, I know I mentioned a devotional thing, but I urge you to do that daily. We often do this in trainings. We talk about prayer. Prayer is what? Talking to God. If you have a good friend and you don't talk to him or her for a while, do you think they might get upset? Probably. That's the same way with God, right? He is our friend and he wants us to talk with him. So not just Sunday mornings, but throughout the week. So I encourage you to get started if you haven't, or just to keep augmenting it as you go along. God wants to know you. Acts 17:27. Let me turn there, please. Acts 17, verse 27. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him through, though he be not far from every one of us. Being not far means that God is with us all the time, right? You know that one of them big words, omniscience? He's always there. He's here with us this day, this morning. He's here with Pastor Scott as he's traveling, wherever that is. I know he's off looking at colleges for their son, right? That's what I was told. But he's with us at all the times. He even knows he's even with you when you're someplace maybe you shouldn't be. Or maybe if your attitude is maybe not what it should be. He's with us. And he keeps reminding me, I know, of the things that I need to do and say. In the TNT books of Awana, it talks about, see, some of the questions that they have in there. He says, why did God give us the Bible? And they ask, who is God? Who is Jesus? Those are questions that those TNT age kids need to understand, not only the question, but the answer, so that they can better understand God's word, better be able to apply it, better able to keep Satan from them when he tempts them. He knows where my weak spot is. That's Satan, of course. God knows it too, but Satan knows where my weak spot is. You know, it's an amazing thing. He keeps picking at that, doesn't he? He keeps saying, all right, Ken, you don't really want to do that. Let's go do this. He keeps picking at that. And I know God wants me to stop that. Sometimes I do pretty good. Other times, I get lazy. And just say, no, let's just think about that a little bit longer or go there. But then God reels me back in, excuse me, and say, all right, Ken, let's get this right. That's all part of the relationship that I have with him, that he keeps reminding me. And I would encourage you, again, to do that. God's commitment to you is that he assures you that if you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, he has given you eternal life. 1 John 5:13. A pretty familiar verse. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's an encouraging verse to me. That I know that I have eternal life. And I'm sure many of you also know, and that's a joy to me. And that's all part of my relationship with him. God promises never to leave us. Hebrews 13:5 talks about that, that he'll never leave us or forsake us, right? Even when things get tough. I'll tell you, when on Labor Day, Debbie, our other son Andy, and I were coming back from Cleveland. We had gone up to see an Indians game. We didn't go up to see the Indians. We went up to see the Baltimore Orioles, who happened to be there, which is the team that I follow. But because I was born in Maryland, so I can go along with that, right? And that was a birthday present for Andy and I. We had a chance to get up there and see that. And we were traveling back. And not only had our second grandson, Mitchell, been born the Sunday, September 1st, September is a great month because that's when my birthday is too, so you know it's all right. But as we were traveling back, and we were deciding what time we were going to head back up to New York, mainly at that time because our daughter-in-law's father had just passed away. She'd just given birth to her son, and then within a day her father passed away. That's some tough stuff. We knew that we needed to be there. But after talking with our son and just feeling, you just hear how down he was. He said, we needed to be there with him to help him. And yes, we enjoyed being our time with Marshall, which is our first son, grandson. But we were there so that Matt and Michelle could take care of Mitchell, who had these respiratory issues. All of that was saying, Ken, you need to be there. And Debbie and I both agreed with that on that 3 to 4 hour drive home from Cleveland, and we're going to turn around and go right back there past Cleveland again the next day. But Awana says that it's a children's, youth, and family ministry. And you can only imagine the number of things that I had to do the first week in September. Many, many places to go, many things to do, many people to see. But I knew, because of my relationship with God, that he knew that I needed to be in New York at that time. And he worked out those details. Because there was a lot of calls that I had to make. A lot of things that we had to do. But all that was stemmed from the fact that my relationship with God said that he knew that I needed to be in New York to support our son. And I know that's also part of what is hopefully maybe bringing Matthew back to a relationship with his God. He didn't forsake us then when it was tough, because on the Tuesday, September 3rd, when we were getting ready to head up, Debbie had received a call from our daughter-in-law, and she was so distraught, Debbie could hardly hear her, because Mitchell was not doing well. That day, September 3rd, we almost lost him. And you talk about a rude awakening and knowing that we needed to be there. I don't drive very fast, but I drove faster that day than I usually do just to get up to New York. Because that's all part of our relationship, right? Not only with God our Father, but with our family. And we needed to be there. And God will take care of you on these things. But if you don't know him, how can he help you? If you're not in communication with him, how can he help you? Many of you know that God has forgiven all of our sins, past, present, and the ones that we're going to commit. And in Colossians, it talks about this when Christ was nailed to the cross. When Jesus was nailed to that cross for you and for me, that was God's way of saying, okay, folks, what are you going to do with this? Are you going to have a relationship with me? Are you going to do what I want you to do and not what you want to do? And so I encourage you to work with that, to say, yes, God, I will do what you want me to do. Sometimes we have to get hit with a 2x4. I know I had to when God was asking me to be a missionary. And I felt very, very not sure of myself. Who am I to go talk and tell people that Jesus died for my sins? But as we tell the boys and girls on a club night, we are all missionaries. God asks each one of us to share what Jesus has done for each one of us. And that's all that he asks us. We can't save them, right? I can't save anybody. It's the Holy Spirit and using this book to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and help them to start that relationship. I don't know where you are with your relationship with God, and maybe you've gotten tired of me saying relationship with God. But to me, it's huge. Because last November, when that first really hit on me, that when my dad took me to Sunday school and took me to church, and I know he's proud of the fact that I'm teaching others about Jesus, and he's looking at me from up in heaven and seeing if I'm doing what he wants me to do. My earthly father and my heavenly father asked me, they ask you to have a relationship with him. And so what are you going to do about that? Are you going to say, no, I don't want to do that because I need to go do this or go do that? Or are you, and am I, going to say, yes, God, I will do what you want me to do. And it starts with a daily time reading, prayer, fellowship, and getting right for the day. Maybe you've never heard that, as I said earlier. Maybe you never heard that Jesus died for your sins. He paid the penalty so that you could get into heaven. If that's something you would like to know more about, then I would ask you, you can either come talk to me or one of the leaders here in this church, and we could show you from God's word about that. I want to thank you for the time of being here. It actually truly has been an honor for Debbie and I to come back. We've been here a few other times, and so we thank you for that.